Now today we're going to turn to the book of John. John chapter 1 and verse 1. So let's read from John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1. And we're going to read the first 18 verses of the chapter. So John chapter 1 and verse 1. And this passage speaks about grace. Two or three different references to grace. And we're going to read this portion. So John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And there's where we start today. That's the first doctrinal truth that we want to emphasize today. And that's the first truth of the mission. And this is a vital truth that you need to grasp hold of even at the beginning of the mission. The Lord Jesus Christ created all things. He's the Creator. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They created this universe. And that's where you must start today. That's the first truth that you need to really take in. So many people today have no idea that the Lord created them. So many people have no idea of the fact that they didn't come from the bottom of the sea, or they didn't come from chimpanzees, but they actually came from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great Creator. Now, why am I emphasizing that doctrine today? There's one simple reason. Someday, you must stand before Him. Because every one of us, because we have been created by the Lord Jesus Christ, one day we must give account to Him. One day there will be a day of reckoning with our Creator. We are accountable to Him. You see, today people go out and they murder somebody and they rob a bank and they do all sorts of other evil things. And they think that they're accountable to nobody. But actually, they are accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ because He created them. And every one of us someday must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. There it is again, that great truth, that Christ is the great Creator. He created all things. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him, and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law came, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Amen. Could we please ask the Lord's blessing upon His Word, and let us pray that for the remaining time that the Lord will come and will speak to us. Heavenly Father, we surrender ourselves to Thee, Lord. I pray that Thou will take control of this fallen creature just now. Lord, this fallen creature who is only a sinner saved by grace, take control, Lord, of these lips of mine, and glorify the Lord Jesus through them, I pray. Lord, I pray that You will help us today as we try to grapple with the great subject of grace. Oh, Lord, come, speak to us. Give us the help of the Holy Spirit. And oh, we pray that the Spirit of God will exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Undertake for us and bless us and minister to our needs. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know whether you realize that the hymn Amazing Grace at one point was top of the charts. That's something I didn't realize until last week. But back in the year 1972, John Newton's great hymn was top of the pops. You see, some people think that only secular music is in the charts. But not always. Sometimes there's Christian music. Sometimes there's gospel music gets into the charts. Now, most of the music in the charts is garbage, and we know that. But not always. And that was the case back in the year 1972. For in both Great Britain and Australia, Amazing Grace was top of the charts. Number one. Not the singing version, not the words version, but the instrumental version. There was a pipe band from Scotland, I think it is, and they recorded a recording of Amazing Grace, and we all know how beautiful it is to hear the pipes play Amazing Grace. And that single went to number one. Today I want to speak about Amazing Grace, not John Newton's hymn, but I want to speak about the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace that brings salvation to you and to me. Today's text will be verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to take home with you today those three words. Full of grace. Full of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace, and He still is full of grace. As He lived His life, as He went about doing good, He was full of grace. And today we're going to think about three aspects of that fullness. We're going to think of how His ways were full of grace. And then we're going to think about how His words were full of grace. And we'll think about how, finally, His wounds are full of grace. But the first place that we need to start today is by explaining what grace is. Because the chances are that, as you've heard me referring to grace, you think that I'm going to speak about the prayer that you make before you have your dinner. Well, I'm not going to talk about that sort of grace. Now, that grace is important. And sad to say, there aren't as many households as there used to be where daddy says grace or mummy says grace before the meal begins. But today we're going to think about saving grace. We're going to think about amazing grace. That grace that reaches down to the lowest depths. That grace that reaches down to the very gutter to lift up the filthy and the fallen. So let us think today, first of all, about the fact that the Lord Jesus was full of grace when it came to His ways. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ showed grace to everyone He met. You think about Mary Magdalene. Now, most people would have disowned Mary Magdalene. Most people would have run a mile when they saw Mary Magdalene because she was possessed with seven devils. She wasn't the sort of person that you wanted to meet on a dark night. But whenever the Lord Jesus Christ met Mary Magdalene, he was full of grace. And that poor down and out sinner, some would say that she was a prostitute. I don't know. The Bible doesn't make it clear. The Bible doesn't specify what sins she'd been involved in, but she was a down and out sinner. But the Lord Jesus, when he met her, he was full of grace. And he reached out to give her his grace and to take her sin from her. You remember earlier we talked about the great transfer. The Lord Jesus wants to do the great transfer for you today. He wants to take your sin, but he'll swap his grace for your sin. And that's what Jesus did for poor Mary Magdalene. His grace reached out to her. Think of other people that the Lord Jesus Christ met. You think about the two other people who were possessed with the devils. You remember the Lord Jesus had crossed. He had crossed the Sea of Galilee. And as soon as he came out of the boat, two devil-possessed men met the Savior. And they came to him. There was something magnetic about him. There was something that caused those two poor wretches to be unable to stay away from him. There was something that drew them to Christ. And you know, that's still the case today. Whenever somebody's truly saved, there's a drawing power. There's a magnetism. And maybe as you've sat here today, you're starting to feel the magnetism. There's something drawing you to Christ. Maybe up until this point, you've had your fill of religion. And maybe religion to you has been dry and it's been harsh and it's been cruel. But today you've heard Jean sing and she's sung about grace and the gospel and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as she sung, your heart was being drawn to Jesus. And as we have prayed, our brother Harry has prayed, and as we've read the scriptures and as we've talked today, perhaps you're like the two demon-possessed men who were drawn to Christ. And they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't condemn them. Now, they'd no doubt been involved in all sorts of perversions and all sorts of wickedness. They couldn't be chained. People had tried to chain them up, but the devil within them had broken the chains. And they were cutting themselves. By the way, many people are still doing that today. Many poor souls in the world today today people talk about self-harm. There's still people doing that today. They were doing it 2,000 years ago. And those two poor men who had cut themselves and abused themselves, and they were wretches of humanity, naked, no clothes. But whenever the Lord Jesus came across Galilee, he reached out with his grace to them. They were sinners. They were filthy. And by the way, and I say this lovingly, you too are filthy. Those of you in the meeting today without the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, that you could understand just how filthy your sin really is. But you know, the wonderful thing is that he wants to show his grace to you as well. We could talk about the woman taken in adultery, and that would show the ways of the Lord Jesus, that they were full of grace. That woman taken in adultery, those old dead, dry Pharisees, those old Pharisees who were filled to the gills with religion, but they had no grace and no salvation. They dragged that poor woman before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, stone her. Get rid of her. Just sweep her away. And the Lord Jesus turned and he said words that are among my most favorite words anywhere in the Bible. Let him that is without sin first cast a stone at her. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by His mighty power and by the conviction of His words, He caused those religious men to go out one by one. Every one of them went out with their tails between their legs. And there was the poor woman left alone. What was Jesus going to do to her? He was going to show His grace to her. That's what He was going to do. And He showed His grace, the fullness of His grace, toward that poor wretch. Now I'm sure the poor woman could hardly believe it. She was waiting for the stones to land on her head. But there was no stoning. You see, remember what Luke chapter 9 says, that the Son of Man is come not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Oh, the grace of His ways. What about the grace of His words? The grace of His words. Have you ever heard a more wonderful story of grace than the prodigal son? Is there a story anywhere on the planet that anyone has ever told that is so full of grace than that parable of the prodigal son? We all know the parable of the prodigal son so well. But it's a parable that shouts grace to us. That's the one word that we could write over the prodigal son. Grace. Saving, redeeming grace. Think about that parable for a moment or two. There were two people, well, three people if you include the father, but if you think about the sons, there were two people. There was the evil son, and everybody knows about the evil son. He was the one who went into the far country and he lived it up with prostitutes and entered into many other sins. He wasted his substance with riotous living, the Bible says. That's the evil son. What about the elder son? The elder son. Whenever the younger son came home, what happened? There was a bit of a fuss. There was a bit of a commotion, and the elder son wasn't one bit pleased because he didn't like the grace that the father had showered upon his younger son. But the lesson of Luke 15 and the lesson of the prodigal son is this. Everybody needs grace. Everybody needs the saving grace of God that is found in Christ. Everybody. Religious people, like the elder brother. But also evil people, like the younger brother. Everybody needs the saving grace of God. And you need it today, dear friend. You need the grace of God. That's the only thing that will remove the stain of sin from your soul. That's the only thing that will open heaven's pearly gates to you. God's grace. His amazing grace. Both of the brothers needed grace. That elder brother, he was very religious. He was taken up with himself and what he had done. He talked to his father about how he had never even had a party. I never had a celebration. I've faithfully served you. I've worked on your farm all these years. I've done this. I've done that. Now how is it that you can accept this wretch of a brother of mine? How is it that you can just shower your grace on him? How is it that you can kill the fatted calf for him? Which, by the way, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The fatted calf. Bring hither the fatted calf. The fatted calf was the prize animal. And I don't want to be taken the wrong way today. And I want to say this reverently. The Lord Jesus, He is the prize animal, as it were. He's the fatted calf. He's the great sacrifice. But the elder brother couldn't understand it. Why have you killed this most precious possession that you have? Why have you put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet? Why have you done all this for him? He couldn't understand it, and still to this day many people don't understand grace. The world's full of people who still think that you have to earn your salvation. You know, there are people today, there are Hindus out in India and places like that who stick hooks in their back and will swing from trees, thinking that they can somehow appease the great deities of the skies. They think that this is somehow going to appease whoever's up there, the great deity, the great god, whoever it is, their god, the Hindu gods. They think that by doing penance, by putting themselves through suffering, that they can earn salvation. But let's remember that it's all been done. We don't need to stick hooks in our backs to gain salvation, because there was a day whenever God's beloved Son went outside the walls of the old city of Jerusalem, and he was crucified for us. You know, there are people in the Philippines, and if you were to be out there around Easter time, you would see people who willingly crucify themselves. They let themselves be crucified. And again, this is getting back to the idea that man can save himself. Somehow man, by putting himself through pain and agony, can please the God of heaven. But it can't be done. And the poor blind Filipinos, they don't see that it's all been done already. Any pain that needed to be endured has been endured by the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's bring it closer to home, because last Sunday afternoon, 25,000 poor blinded souls walked up Kirkpatrick Mountain, thinking that they could earn salvation. Up the mountain, old men, old women, hobbling on their walking sticks, some of them going barefeet. There is, whenever they come back down the mountain, now I haven't been there, but I'm just going by reports, whenever some of those precious souls come down the mountain again, you can see their knees bleeding and their legs bleeding and their feet bleeding. Where's the grace in that? Oh, surely this is the message that needs to be proclaimed. Surely this is the message for the tent mission. Surely this is the message that people need to hear, whether it's at Kirkpatrick Mountain in County Mayo, or whether it's in the Philippines, or whether it's in India, or whatever it is, the message of saving grace. You don't have to earn it yourself. It's all been done. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Everything has been done. And with the words of Luke 14 today, we simply say this: come, for all things are now ready. Oh, the grace of his words, the grace of his ways, and the grace of his wounds. Where does grace come from? Grace comes from the cross. That's where the source is. That's where the fountainhead is. And if you want the grace of God today, which can blot out the past and make you a new creature, you must come to the cross by faith. You must look away with the eye of faith to the cross of Christ. Look away to Calvary. You see, some people today talk about grace, and there are many people today who love to speak about grace, and there are people who love to preach about grace. But you see, the problem is that they don't connect grace to the cross. There's this big doctrine of grace, but what about Calvary and the cross and Christ's precious blood, where grace comes from? You see, we cannot separate the two. If you want grace, saving grace, then you must see the relation with Christ. And you must understand that only through him can grace ever come to you. And so today we have begun our tent mission. And we have thought about amazing grace, and this is amazing grace. And you cannot help but see amazing grace whenever you look at the ways and the words and the wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ. He offers his grace to you today, right at the beginning of the tenth mission. Why not come and accept his grace today? There is grace to cover all your sin. The Lord Jesus has covered my sin by his matchless grace, and mind you, I have had many sins to cover. So if he can do that for me, then he can do it for you. And we invite you today, we plead with you on the opening day of the tenth mission, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene wasn't afraid to come to him. There was something about that stranger of Galilee that drew her to him. Those two demoniacs weren't afraid to come to him because there was something magnetic that drew them to him. Something irresistible. And that poor woman taken in adultery. My, what grace she found. She was glad, you know, that the old Pharisees had hauled her before the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, she didn't like it at first, but when the Lord had dealt with the Pharisees, and she was left alone, and she tasted of his grace, she was a happy woman. She was thrilled to bits. Oh, to think that I thought it was going to be stoned, to think that the law, that I thought that the law was going to come down and crush me. But what is this? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.